If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Captain America said you gotta be like me or you're gonna wind up dead. That's at the end of your road. Flat broke, down and tired. You sleepy, won't you go to bed? Let me run your life. Like him, River President, no one knew about the things locked in his head. First tried to take his eye back, his ace is weak. Through that kryptonite, time's still looking good. What you gonna say to make everything all right? Had a barrel of fun with a smoking gun. Heard round the world, all the world. What a wonderful way to wish suicide. Not pay your fine, do your time. Let me run your life. In the middle, right in the middle, dead in the middle anyway.
We'll be right back. You've been listening to Captain America, performed by Mo, July 15th, 2019, in Norfolk, Virginia. Mo is on tour with Blues Traveler and G-Love, while also spending time at festivals including their own, Mo-Down, held earlier this summer. Mo has long been on our radar since their early days playing tiny shows like the ones here in Toronto, while they made their mark on the jam band scene through the mid-90s. So it was great to catch up with Rob Derrick, who had a significant health scare and put the band on hiatus for a bit, but they are back and as fierce and jammy as ever. Our conversation started when I asked Rob about the band's longevity and the fact that their fans, morons, have stuck with them through thick and thin.
Yeah, I mean, there's still faces I recognize from, you know, the 300 showers or whatever. It's crazy. And there's young, you know, there's younger fans too. And it's wild. I mean, we don't tour like we used to, and we're coming up on, this is going to be our 30th anniversary coming up this winter, like starting in January. And it's, you know, someone asked me, like, how many shows have you played? And I was like, all of them, I guess. I don't know. Like, they had no idea how many shows, or I have no idea. They wanted to know. They were blown away that I didn't know how many shows roughly we've done. And I really don't have a clue, you know. It's been a lot.
You in particular, though, haven't had a ton of side projects, right? Like, Al and Vinny have all had, like, you have downtime.
Mo is my side project.
Well said.
I'm a pretty big, my stamp is pretty heavy on the band. And
yeah.
I've tried a couple things, but, you know, like, it does end up sounding a lot like Mo when I do it, you know? So, but, except I do, you know, I've heard of this band, Ha Ha the Moose, and I've seen them play, and they're pretty wild.
What about the scene now? I mean, the scene was really big. Like, you know, there were bands, some of the bands that you're playing with tonight that kind of started this scene or rejuvenated the scene after Jerry's passing or whatever else. And then there's been this next wave of younger cats.
Yeah, there's all these young bands that are just phenomenal bands. You look at, like, Aqueous and, you know, like, Munyon and... you know, Turquoise and all these bands that I love to see and just hear, and like they're so energetic and just so like talented, you know. Like it was almost when we first started out, there wasn't that many talented bands out there, you know. There were a lot of bands, but none of them not everyone put as much time in as the bands are now,
right,
to their craft, and it's a different world out there, and there's some really great bands playing, and people are, it seems like there's a nice resurgence in this scene. So, you know, it has a lot to do with bands like that who are practicing and playing and building followings and doing what needs to be done.
Yeah. You did it really the hard way. You were one of the bands that had to tour and do it. And now, you know, to a certain degree, these bands are resting or running on sort of the highway that you set for them, that you guys and Dave Matthews and Traveler and Fish to a certain degree set for these guys. I mean, they wouldn't have Runway if it weren't for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of, for us, we started out in Buffalo and did a lot of touring, a lot of times playing in Toronto in the early days, you know, sneaking across the border, trying to figure out how to make
Sneaky D's upstairs. And
Sneaky
stuff.
D's, yep. And, but you know, like a band, the bands that were like, you know, the sort of original horde bands, like, Blues Traveler, who we're playing with, and Fish and Aquarium Rescue Unit, all those guys were sort of like the real, they sort of started a scene without even really realizing it, I think. And there were bands like us who were like, oh, that's fantastic. And, we really started to play, and try to follow like what they were doing. And it was, us and like God Street Wine and Ominous Sea Pods,
right,
and bands like that. And
is Umphrey's your vintage or a little bit later?
They're a little bit younger than we are.
A little bit.
I would say they kind of came around about 10 years after us, maybe.
Right.
I'm just guessing. I don't really know.
Yeah. Mo-Down is a chance for you to curate all of these bands and show these bands off to your fans and everybody else.
Right.
And the festival that you do in the winter too. I mean, is that still exciting for you to bring all your fans together and make, you know, a few days out of the community being together and not necessarily on the road?
It is. It is. A lot of it is, it's become a very family oriented thing now, you know? So like once we all started having families and, our fans, who, you know, the ones that are in our age bracket started doing that.
Yeah.
It became a fun family get together. It's like having a giant family reunion. So there's the amount, and imagine hosting it to your family. So there's the amount of that sort of, stress that's involved, but the payoff is amazing. You know, like the people have so much fun. We have so much fun doing it. And it's always like at the end when we're leaving, everyone's just sad that it's over.
It's amazing now that people don't necessarily have to trade tapes like we used to in the old days.
They still should. I think we should outlaw digital taping and
right, really?
Yeah, make everyone just go, that was the fun thing. Then you get to write stuff on the tape and
yeah.
You know, it's all, you know, you get something like a tape that's been taped 20 times over and you don't know who the original source was and there's like all this weird information on it. It's kind of cool.
It is, and I, you know, it's funny because a bunch of my friends who were coming tonight to see you, that's what we did. I mean, we traded tapes and we traded Mo tapes, and I once got kicked out of your Opera House show here in Toronto for doing something I shouldn't have been doing during the first song. But that being said, the laws have changed now. The laws have changed now, and I can maybe get away with it a little bit better. But
there
I was in first year university, and I got tossed, and we still talk about it to this day that I need to see a full Mo show. But I have. But no, it's cool because, you know, I didn't get to go to Mo Down, and you go onto Nugs.net and there it is, and I get to at least hear you guys play Blue Sky. I mean, you guys do all kinds of fun things that unless I'm touring with you, we don't get a chance to see.
Right. Yeah. So like, you know, if we're not like if we're in one place like Mo Down, we experiment with a lot of stuff in the same, like everyone gets to see like a good wide swath of is that the right word?
Yeah.
Of stuff we do, and like you said, if you're not like following show to show, you're not going to see that because I mean we do not really repeat much at our own when we're doing our own stuff. And our material has gotten so deep that it used to be like, well, we have a 3-song thing, and then it was like, well, now it's going to be our 3-show. Don't repeat. Then it's a 4-show. Don't repeat. Now it's a 5-show. Don't repeat.
Right.
And now it's like, what we do is we kind of try to mix it up. But like the cool thing about Mo Down, you know, like playing Blue Sky, for instance, that was, you know, it's Vinny's daughter's favorite song. So it's their song, you know.
Yeah.
So it was her birthday. So he's like, can we play this? And I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. And he sang it, you know. And it was a very nice moment. And like, I got my daughter likes to sing, so you know, she loves Elton John, so we played Benny and the Jets, and she sang it. And it's like stuff like that that you can't really do at a normal show because, you know, people are coming to see these. There's a certain amount of things you want to give them, and sometimes it's not exactly, you know, a tribute to, you know, your kid or something. And
who makes the set list these days? Is it a group project, a group thing situation?
No, we switch it up, so we just rotate every day.
Right.
Different person each time. And the only one who was doing it and bailed on it was Jim because he's just like, I don't really have an aptitude for it. He's like, I like to play these songs, but I can never tell if they're good for the beginnings, the ends, or whatever.
Right, so I'm
just taking myself out of the loop.
You should just put Meat down and you can just play that for a whole set.
Have done it. Have done it.
Tonight would be a great night, I think, for you guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
I'm not sure this venue is like a Meat kind of venue.
No, probably not. No. Probably better at Sneaky D's or the Opera House.
Yeah.
Recreational. Is there a bunch of favorites? Do you steer towards the older songs being favorites or some of the newer material being favorite?
For us or for fans?
Well, for you, for Rob.
For me, it's ever, you know, for me, it's like whatever the next big thing is we're doing is my favorite. You know, like it's more interesting to me to play something recent that I wrote that I'm super excited about it.
Right.
But, you know, I get the fact that people have never heard it before and, you know, some of that, like, you know, it just doesn't sink in. Like the first time I heard someone recommended Primus to me when I was like, I don't even think I was 21 at that point.
Yeah.
And just because I played bass and I listened to it, I'm like, what the, you know, this is horrible. This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Right.
And then I listened to it again and then again. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, this is like the best thing I've ever heard.
Right.
You know, it just takes a few times. And then I got obsessed with it. So I get the fact that, you know, not everyone's going to be on board with any brand new material you do. But I would say that most of, you know, fan-wise, you look at, there's like old-time classics that the crowd goes, gets pumped up. You know, you play Buster, everyone goes nuts.
Yeah.
You know, you play Rebubula, everyone goes nuts. And that feels great. You know, like I still enjoy doing that. It's not like I'm having a bad time doing it. I still love it. And having that interaction with the crowd is great. But like my favorite thing to do is to build a new interaction with the crowd on something new and watch that sort of take hold.
What's interesting, though, is that some of your older fans are impressed with how long you stretch the older material and how much differently you're playing the older material. Not in terms of length or notes or whatever, just it's different and
it
it's
is
refreshing
different.
and that's got to say something for your staying power and your ability to keep playing these songs but change them up a little bit.
They evolve for sure. It's like you know, it's like a river. It's like, you know, eventually the river's just gonna turn really windy, you know.
Yeah.
And you listen, like I listened to an old Timmy Tucker, I think maybe it happened to, I don't know where I was, but it came on the radio or it came on something. I don't know. And it was really cool. And I'm like, but this sounds nothing like the way we play it now.
Right.
I'm like, first of all, this is really fast.
Right.
And then there was like all this different other stuff. And there was no conscious effort to be like, let's change from that song to this song. It was just a matter of like 20 years of it. Just like everyone sort of like evolving their parts, and
right.
It just became something else.
Also, you're listening to more stuff now and different stuff, and you probably are like, there's more stuff in your consciousness when you're playing those tunes, right?
I don't, you know, that has to have something to do with it for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't, it's not something you think about,
right?
But it's like it's just, it finds its way into your music or finds in your everyday life, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Like you're influenced by everything you see and hear.
Yeah.
And, you know, the more you live, the more you see and hear.
You're always working on new material and playing new material. Is there a record? Do you guys even think about putting
Absolutely.
Out records?
Yeah. We are planning on hitting the studio this fall, and I don't have any type of schedule for when we're going to be done and when it's coming out, but we hope to record a new record starting in October, you know? So that's our goal.
Is that still meaningful to put out a record and to, you know, capture these songs?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
I don't know. It is to me, you know? I doubt we'll be putting out a CD, you know?
Right,
like,
because, right.
You know, you look at the sales of CDs at shows, and it's like 0000.
Right.
Like, Jesus, this really is dead. This is completely dead.
A manager of a band a couple weeks ago, an up-and-coming band, well, the Twiddle's tour manager said, here, take some of these CDs. And I'm like, dude, I have no way to play them.
like coasters? Thanks.
Well, it's so weird. Like how you were talking about tapes. My kids don't even know what a cassette looks like. They sort of have a vague idea of what a CD looks like. But like cassette, they're like,
But my kids all know what vinyl looks like because I play vinyl.
Right.
And people buy vinyls,
yeah.
You know, like it has the big resurgence that everyone knows about and stuff. But, you know, so we'll release vinyl and digital downloads and they'll do fine.
Yeah.
But the vinyl is the best. It's the most fun way to listen to music, I think.
And also gives you a lot more space to play and think about what goes on A side and B side and all those games too, right?
You know, we've always tried to think of it in those terms, even when we're just putting out a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out that, you know, the CDs down the road ended up we released as a vinyl. So we're lucky we did that. But it's just what, you know, growing up, like I'm 50 years old, right?
Yeah.
I'll be 51 soon. And that's how we listened to music when we were kids.
Right.
And that's like all the greatest, you know, You listen to a Zeppelin album. You listen to Pink Floyd. Any, you know, Steely Dan. Those albums have A and B sides, and they're perfect.
You know. So, what do you say to the young and up and comers that are in the scene that are either playing Modown or that you see on the road or at other festivals? You know, the Twiddles or the Aqueouses of the world. Well, they're from your hometown, so you must have some kind of relationship with Ganser and the boys. Are you a father figure or a big brother figure to them? Do they ask for advice?
No, they don't.
No.
No, I mean they're freaking grown ups. You know, they're. I think they're great on their own, doing their own thing, and I don't know how. I don't think they look at me in any terms like that. No one's ever said anything to me, but
right.
You know, my general words of advice are just like, you know, do what you love and it'll come around to you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing what you love and you're truly inspired, then people will recognize that.
Hey man, it's been a while from Sneaky D's till now, and we've grown up listening to you, and you know, not to be you know, not to blow smoke up your butt, but you are one of our favorite bands. I think on the scene you're one of the favorite bands because
thank you.
You guys have evolved and stuck with it and done all the things that, you know, we wish the younger bands would do as well. And just to see you here and healthy is also just awesome. So thanks for taking the time, man. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Love to do it. Thank you for having me.
So great to catch up with a very healthy Rob Derrick, who gave us some great insight into the band and their goings-on. More to the point, as keepers of the jam band baton, it's great to hear how they are keeping the thriving scene going. While they don't tour as extensively as they once did, they are still on the road quite a bit and well worth seeing. For more on Mo, including tour dates and such, visit mo.org. Yes, that's how long they've had a website. Before we leave you, have a listen to another great Mo song. Here is Bear Song from July 19th at that same Norfolk, Virginia show.
Thank you. happens to you. My heart is hypnotized by the golden darkness. When it's shot down cold, broken, hungry, needed some dough to buy some honey.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.